Turn with me to Acts chapter 27, and we'll see something there before we hear from our brother Ben. We too have been looking into the book of Acts, and here in the 27th chapter we read of the shipwreck of the Apostle Paul. And I think there are some lessons we can draw from that that'll help us today, I hope. Praise God. Acts chapter 27. And the Apostle Paul was on his way to Rome to stand trial before Caesar. So he was a prisoner, and yet he was given certain liberty because he commanded such respect. And those that were in charge of him recognized that he was an unusual man, to say the least. Praise God. And of course, they saw Christ in him. But as they were setting out to sail, it says that Paul admonished them not to set out. Verse 6, now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, said, Sir, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Now, how did Paul know that? He wasn't a sailor. He was a tent maker by trade. But the Lord revealed that to him. God made him to know that if they continued on in their journey, that there was going to be disaster. And so he tried to warn them. He spoke the word of God to them, but they didn't receive it. And it says that the master, nevertheless the centurion, believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those which were spoken by Paul, more than those words which were spoken by Paul. Well, of course, the owner, he didn't want to not sail. He had a lot of goods on that ship that he wanted to sell, and this was his livelihood, and he was looking for a big profit. And so somehow he together with the captain of the ship, decided to go ahead. What does Paul know? He's a preacher. A lot of people think that. What does he know? He's a preacher. And because, so anyway, they went on. And it wasn't too long. When they first started out, there was a nice soft breeze. And they thought they had made the right decision. And this confirmed it. But it wasn't long after that that things turned around drastically. And a tremendous hurricane of sorts whipped up. They called it Euroclydon. That's a frightening name. Euroclydon. And the ship was caught in the wind and was driven by the wind. And so they were in trouble now. Things were out of their control. They fought against that wind, but they couldn't make any progress whatsoever. They had to just let the wind take it. And one of the first things that they did, it says here in verse 18, is that they were being exceedingly tossed with a tempest. The next day they lighted the ship. They threw some of the cargo overboard just so that the ship would rise up in the waters and waves wouldn't fill the ship so easily. They had to get rid of some stuff. And so they looked around, what don't we absolutely need? Let's get rid of the things that we don't absolutely need. Okay, and the men threw these things overboard. And then it tells us the third day, things were not getting any better. It says, then with our own hands we cast out the tackling of the ship. We threw that overboard. Those are the things that they needed to navigate the ship. And they had to give that up as well. And just commit themselves to the storm. And then there was neither sun nor stars for many days, and no small tempest lay on us, and all hope that we should be saved was taken away. And after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst and said, Sirs, this is verse 21, you should have hearkened to me and not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, only of the ship. The ship's going down, but we'll all make it. We'll be saved. How did he know that? He said, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and who I serve. That's a good verse to underline. God, whose I am and whom I serve. He appeared to me and said, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. And then he talks about the 14th night was come. They were in this storm for 2 weeks. Didn't see the sun, being tossed back and forth. Must have been miserable. And they were frightened for their lives. And here Paul, God raises Paul up in the darkest night to stand up before them and to say, be of good cheer. The Lord appeared to me, whose I am and whom I serve. And he's going to help us. And then it says here that the men, some of them, decided they were going to sneak off the ship. And so they were letting down one of the lifeboats, and they were pretending that they were going to do something with the anchors or something like that. But Paul realized that they were trying to get away. And Paul said, unless these men stay in the ship, there's no hope. And so they cut the boat, the ropes on the boat, and the boat fell into the ocean and carried off with the sea. Paul said, if we're going to get through this, we got to stay on this ship. We got to believe God. We've got to stick together. We've got to do it God's way. No escape hatches. No devising methods to take care of yourself. And then it says in verse 38, and when they had eaten enough, Paul had told them to eat something because they're going to need some strength when they're cast into the sea and have to swim over to the island. And they ate. Paul thanked the Lord. He prayed. He thanked God before them. The 316 souls. Is that right? 316. That's 276 souls. And when they had eaten, they lighted the ship and they threw the wheat out overboard. So now they had nothing. They threw their cargo overboard, and then they threw their tackling overboard. They cut off their lifeboats, and now they threw their food overboard. Now they were absolutely dependent upon the mercy of God. And then came time when they hit a sandbar and the ship got stuck and the waves began to beat against the ship and the ship began to break up. And then Paul said, okay, every man for himself, jump in that water. If you can swim, swim to that island like you never swam before in your life. And if you can't swim, grab a board, kick, hold on. And boy, those waters must have been cold. This was a cold time of the year. But I'm sure when you're in a situation like that, you don't think about the temperature of the water too much. And so they jumped in and they all got to shore to this island that was there. And the people of the island, they were having a great time watching what was going on. They saw the ship in distress. They saw the waves breaking the ship up. They saw people running around frantically. And then they saw these little things jump into the water. And so they built a fire and they got out there, got their blankets, and they were all ready to receive them. And they got to their desired haven there. Praise God, by the grace and the mercy of God. You know, we're all on a journey in life. We're all on a voyage. And we as Christians, we're passing through. This world is not our home. We're traveling through the sea of life. And the ship that we're on is a sinking wreck. And it's going to go down. We might as well settle that. We heard before, there's nothing in the world for us. The world is going to perish. Everyone in it, one day. And so, the Lord has come to save us. And so the Lord tells us now, first thing you need to do is lighten the ship. You know, when we first come to the Lord Jesus, God begins to make changes in us. We heard about that. There are things that we get rid of, things that we have to take off and cast off. In the Colossians, it tells us, put off the old man and put on the new man. And so there are things that we need to get rid of, throw overboard, and we make those changes. God makes those changes in us as we set out to follow the Lord. And then there comes a time when God begins to deal with us and he says, I want to take charge of your life. I want you to turn the direction of your life, the the governing of your life over to me. I have a will for you, and it may be very different than what you wanted for yourself, but you belong to me now. And I have saved you so that I can use you for my glory, for my purpose. And so we learn to turn that over to the Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. God, there's a reason why you saved me. There's something that you want to do with my life. And Lord, I pray that you'll take my life into your hands and get your will done in me. We learn to pray that along every line. Lord, what should I do with my life? When I get out of high school or college, what should I do? God, guide me. I want to do what you would have me to do. When we enter into relationships, who should I be with? Who should I spend my life with if that's your call for me? And God, you direct me. You prepare me. You bring us together in your time and help us to honor you in our relationship and serve you together. And in every area of our life and in every decision we make, we say, I don't run my own life anymore. I threw the tackling overboard when I gave my life to Jesus, and that's in his hands now. I'll go where you want me to go, do what you want me to do. And then we have to burn the bridges behind us. They used to tell us about captains, commanding officers, that when the people went over the bridge, his armies went over the bridge to fight a battle, some of them would burn the bridges behind them so that there'd be no escape. This is a fight to the death. We don't want to make any provision for the flesh. The Bible tells us. You know, when I was visiting a fellow in prison once down in Virginia, he was in the local county jail, but he was probably going to be sent up to the state pen. And he said, you know, I don't know if I really want to surrender everything to Jesus, because when I get to the state pen, I want to be able to defend myself. I don't want to turn the other cheek when these guys give me a hard time. And so he wanted the Lord and he wanted his help, but he wanted to hold on to a few things just in case. Just in case the Lord didn't come through for him or he needed it. I can understand his fear and his apprehension about going up to the state penitentiary. But you know, that attitude, I'll try the Lord, but if it doesn't work out, I just want to have some stuff on the side that I can take advantage of, some escape hatches. I'll trust the Lord, but when it gets too tough, then I'll resort to this or I'll resort to that. And you know, the Lord wants us to just burn every bridge. That's what you do when you get baptized. You say, Lord, I'm burning every bridge behind me. It's all behind me now. And there's nothing to go back to. And I don't want to make any provision for my flesh. There are things I'll get rid of so that I can't go back to them at all. If your right hand offends you, cut it off. And if your right eye offends you, pluck it out, cast it from you. And then the last thing they did was they threw their food overboard. They just got rid of their food. Now they were absolutely dependent upon the Lord to sustain them. Lord, you're my provider. You're my life. Jesus, I look to you to feed me day by day, to strengthen me for the journey that's before me. And Lord, teach me how to feed on Christ, to receive from Jesus all that I need to be all that God wants me to be. And that's what Ben's doing today. I imagine he's been through some of this process already. I think he's lightened the ship a little bit somewhere along the way. And perhaps he has come to the place where he's saying, Lord, now I just surrender my life to you. And you take me into your hands and lead me and guide me and direct me. And then maybe he also... He has cut the bridges behind him, burned the bridges, and now he's saying, Jesus, you're my life. You're my all. You're the bread of life to me. You're the water of life to me. I can't live apart from my union with you. Praise God. Well, that's God's call over all of our lives. And we're all on this journey. And it's time to get off that old sinking wreck and cast yourself upon the Lord. That's the only way you're going to get to where we need to be in the end. Praise God. And so that's a simple thought from the story of Paul's shipwreck. But I think it's something we can apply to our lives. Oh, then maybe there are some things you need to cut off. Cut off those relationships. They keep dragging you back. You don't need that. make it impossible to go back to that. Cut off this thing and that thing. Get rid of it. Saw a movie one time where the man took this computer, you remember that, fireproof, and he smashed the computer because he was just being drawn into sin through that thing. And he was very radical, but it was very noble of him. Praise God. And so, Lord, we pray that today that you'll help us to look into our hearts. And Jesus, we pray that you will bring us to the place where we're absolutely dependent upon you for everything, that you are our very life, and that apart from you, there is no life. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And if you took Christ out of the life of the Apostle Paul, you'd have nothing. It ought to be that way with us as well. And so, Lord, we want to consecrate ourselves to you today. We want to cast off the tackling. We want to cast off the cargo. We want to cast off those provisions that we make for ourselves. And we want to just surrender ourselves fully to Jesus today with our brother. And Lord, we thank you that you're the captain of our salvation. And you can bring us through any storm. And you will bring us to our desired haven. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Ben says that he likes the song, "There is a fountain filled with blood." Let's sing that before he just gives us his testimony. In the hardcover book. 95. Yes, 95. Thank you.